Grace, mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is actually from Mark chapter 13 verse 24 to 37, which is a parallel of this reading we have from Luke today. And it's on page 66 of your pew Bibles if you're following along. I'll read that now. In the days after the time of trouble, the sun will grow dark, the moon will no longer shine, the stars will fall from the heavens, and the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out his angels to the four corners of the earth to gather God's chosen people from one end of the world to the other. Let the fig tree teach you a lesson. When its branches become green and tender and it starts putting out leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the time is near, ready to begin. Remember that all these things will happen before the people now living have all died. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows, however, when the day or hour will come, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father knows. Be on watch, be alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It will be like a man who goes away from a home on a journey and leaves his servants in charge after giving to each one his own work to do and after telling the doorkeeper to keep watch. Be on guard then, because you do not know when the master of the house is coming. It might be an evening or at midnight or before dawn or at sunrise. If he comes suddenly, he must not find you asleep. But I say to you then, I say to all, watch. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Today we begin a new church year in a season of Advent. And we do so in hearing a gospel lesson which announces the coming of Jesus at the end of time. These words also speak of a harvest that is crucial and critical for time and eternity. On the one hand, when we hear these words, they give us hope and comfort. They give us assurance that Jesus is true to his promise and that he is coming again and he has promised us a great future with him. After the great distress that will come upon the earth and the heavens, there will be a glorious outcome. Here we have a prophecy that salvation is the outcome for those who are chosen by God. But we are also given a timely warning in this reading to watch, to be on alert, to be on guard for the critical time and hour of Christ's coming. To be caught sleeping and unprepared is to suffer eternal loss. Here we read in Mark's Gospel that gives us signs of the coming, announcing that crucial hour is drawing near. The great day will be signposted by cosmic signs. These signs are described in symbolic language, much like we might see in the book of Revelation. There is an element of mystery about it all. There are these signs, but very few details. That is as it should be, for our focus and attention is not to be on working out the timetable of when Jesus is coming again, but on the appearing. Our focus should be on the appearing of the Son of Man, coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Our focus should always be, as it should, is normally, on Jesus. With his appearing, with the appearing of the Son of Man comes our salvation, the final rescue of his people. The Son of Man will gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. This will be a joyful gathering of all whom God in his mercy has chosen to be his. Those who have been scattered by suffering and persecution will be gathered and brought home. Suffering will be over. This final gathering, this great harvest, takes place by Christ's power. Since this is so, we as the elect of God are called to learn the lessons provided in nature. When the twigs of the fig tree become tender and its leaves appear, we have a sign that summer is near. In the same way, the signs that God gives remind us that the hour of God's harvest is right at the door. In a sense, fulfillment is already taking place already in this generation, in the present. At the same time as there are signs, the truth is we do not know the hour or the final hour in time. Indeed, we do not need to know the exact details, the when, the what and the how. Our only need is to heed Christ's call to be on guard, to be alert, to be watching. Those who know of this final gathering await this final gathering and Jesus coming with joyful, wholehearted, faithful watching and waiting. But what does this look like in our lives? Joyful, wholehearted watching with confidence is watching with faith in Christ. This faith leads us to a life of active love and service. It's a life of serving the neighbour and their needs by carrying out our tasks assigned to us, to each of us. It's a life of being faithful in our station and vocation, whatever that may be. It's also of a life of fulfilling the mission that Christ has given to his church to share the word of God, to pass on the good news of the gospel that all may be ready to receive Christ when he comes. We do that through our life of worship, of hearing and teaching the word. Unfortunately, this life of active and joyful waiting and watching is not what our Lord found when he came long ago, and he often does not find it today. What he finds instead is often loveless, reluctant and fearful watching, which is really no watching at all but sleep. No wonder then that Jesus' words include a strong warning. Watch, be alert, be on your guard, don't let the owner of the house find you asleep. We shouldn't be quick to pass off this warning and say, well, it applies mainly to the unbelievers out there, to those who are asleep in sin and disbelief. We shouldn't be quick to think that this warning does not apply to us, telling ourselves, surely we are watching. Here we need to learn a lesson from the scriptures. If ever there was an outpost of watching in the world, it was Jerusalem, the chosen city of God. The temple was there. The Orthodox religion was supposedly there. But you couldn't be too sure the further you went in Jerusalem to places like Galilee and Samaria. And in Jerusalem, surely it was the Pharisees and those who were awake and watching, they took attention to the law so seriously. But it is just in Jerusalem and its religious establishment which comes in for harsh condemnation, for they were not watching and ready for Jesus' first coming. They were asleep, and doom and destruction would soon fall on that city and its people. While Jesus' call and warning to watch is a call for all to watch, this call comes firstly and primarily to us and personally to us as Christians and as a church. How are we watching for Jesus' return or for his coming to us each and every day? Is our watching confident, faithful, joyful? Are we eager to serve, or is our service reluctant and lukewarm and motivated by fear? Are we watching with one eye looking backwards over our shoulders? Are our lives full of excuses? We excuse ourselves to each other and maybe even to God. This is all watching based on the Lord, trying to be active and ready to face the Lord based on our own efforts. But if we live with such a basis for our life, there will be no pleasing God. There will be no God-pleasing activity or service. Our watching, like that of Jesus' first disciples, will be a dismal failure whom he rebuked with his words, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" By our own efforts, we can never truly watch and be ready for our Saviour. Worse than that, we can easily become targets of Satan, who gathers his own harvest while we are sleeping, while we are relying on ourselves, on our own efforts at watching. So what is the solution? We need more than moralism, more than good advice or encouragement at a greater effort at watching. If we follow this path, we'd never be sure that it is enough, and it will lead to pride or despair. Pride in our own efforts, or despair that we can never do enough. We need good news, and we have it. Jesus is the key to joyful watching and waiting and ultimately readiness for when he comes. Jesus, who is the coming one, is the one who came long ago. He is the Son of Man, as he declares before the high priest. His hour comes as the events of his passion unfolded that evening and at midnight and at dawn. Jesus' hour comes above all in the hour of his death on the cross, where Jesus faces God's judgment for us. That hour holds the key to what will happen in the hour when Jesus comes again, when we stand before his face and his throne. That hour that Jesus suffered, that he watched and died, is the source of forgiveness and life. And that's something that he offered to us. And so we watch by faith in Christ, faith which receives his mercy to us. When we watch by faith in what Jesus has done for us, then our concern as Christians is not that we must watch and work in order to be saved, lest Jesus Christ catch us out. Rather, watching by faith means in Christ being busy in our work. This kind of watching, which can only be born of the good news that Jesus gives us, is a glad response to God's love and mercy in Jesus. Even as we watch and wait, though, for his return, we still might be troubled, though. What if I fall asleep in my faith while watching? Well, one of the hymns for the church provides, which we'll sing in a moment, provides a wonderful answer when it says, "When we are watching, should slumber o'ertake us, Jesus, we pray thee, sustain and awake us." It is our hope that even if we fall asleep, that Jesus will wake us up and make us watchful and ready for his return. It is the answer of faith and trust in God, which expresses itself in this prayer. Such faith always looks to God, relying on and trusting in his watching over us, that he is watching us in his love, and in that we can be confident. So being assured that Jesus is watching over us and has won the victory for us, let us then joyfully and gladfully and patiently watch and wait and work until Jesus comes again in glory to gather us to himself. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.